Going to hear from God's word in Scripture. This morning we heard the story of Jesus being baptized and the Spirit of God coming down upon him. And this voice saying, "You are my son, with you I'm well pleased." And the early church soon found out this wasn't just an experience for Jesus. And the Apostle Paul writes in two places. He writes in Romans and in Galatians about the experience of the Holy Spirit in us and how the Holy Spirit reveals God to us as our Father and enables us to know God as Father. This is something that happens to us. So let's read from Scripture, Romans chapter 8. "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the body we sinners have. And in the end, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please Christ or please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature tells you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves." Song coming on here. "Instead," that's where he got it from. "Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering." Wow. Yeah. kind of feel we're up in the spiritual Himalayas there, reading that. Yeah, amazing, amazing stuff. Just a few thoughts. It'll take an hour to unpack all of that chapter. Do you ever get these moments when someone says something and it just lodges in your brain and you can't quite shake it off? I had one at a PPP a while ago when we were discussing what was the red-hot issue of the day, and somebody said, "I don't know what sin is anymore." Well, I can give you the dictionary definition of sin, if you like. Sin is falling short. Sin is missing the target. It's not... The idea of sin is not about breaking a rule. That word is trespasses or transgressions. The word sin is about falling short, whether deliberately or not deliberately, whether it's breaking a rule or not breaking a rule. Or to put it another way, given that all the fundamental commandments are about love, sin is anything that isn't loving. If it's loving, if it reflects something of the love of God, it doesn't fall short. It brings God glory. If it doesn't love, then it's not, and it's sinful. Now, you know, when we have readings like this, I never know quite how to start. Romans 7 doesn't feel as if you're up in the Himalayas, but Paul is telling us in that chapter something of his own story. And I think it's important to start there tonight, because Paul has a lot to say about sin and how God deals with it. And in Romans 7, he tells us his own story about his own waking up, about what sin really was. So perhaps listening to what Paul has to say about his own story will help us to understand our story. Now, Paul was brought up in a very religious framework that he adopted wholeheartedly. And he thought he knew what the law of God said. And he thought that he was pretty good at obeying it. He thought he knew what the commandments were. Don't commit adultery. I'm almost certain that Paul had never committed adultery. Honor your father and mother. I'm pretty sure that he did. There was a whole list of things that Paul had done, and he ticked off quite happily. He didn't consider himself to be a sinner at all. When it came to the rules, he had kept them. Except one day, he woke up to one particular commandment, which got right under his skin. And this was the 10th of the 10 commandments. The one that you can never really make a law about. You shall not... Anyone know what the 10th commandment is? Covet. Thank you. You shall not covet this, that, and the other. And one day, Paul woke up to the sin of coveting. And he realized that he was a sinner. He realized that for all his rule keeping, he was letting God down all the time. And it was worse than that, he says. It wasn't just that he realized that he was a sinner. It was that once he'd realized that coveting was wrong, it just got worse and worse and worse. And he found that something in him, when he tried not to covet, when he tried not to be jealous, when he tried not to be envy, he just got more covetous, he got more jealous, he got more envious. And he found himself trapped in this place that he could not get out of. And for Paul, the question, what is sin? For Paul, his sin, his problem, was coveting. And for those of us who are good rule keepers, for those of us who know what it is to keep the rules, the 10th commandment is an incredibly important one for us to know about. Because perhaps it's the 10th commandment for some that makes us actually realize that we are sinful people. That we have fallen short of God's glory. You know, no policeman is going to come in here today and arrest you for the sin of coveting. In fact, come to think of it, coveting is quite highly honored in our culture. People who want to get to the top are respected. But for Paul, it was this realizing, waking up to coveting as a sin that just about destroyed him. He doesn't tell us when this happened. I wonder if it was after he met the Lord that this happened. I don't really know. When he realized that he was somebody who needed to be rescued. So at the end of chapter 7, just before where we came with our reading, Paul is talking about himself as a wretched man. You know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And Paul says, yeah, I was wretched. I was full of covetousness. It had got a hold on me. For all my attempts to keep God's law, I realized I couldn't do it, and I realized it mattered. What a wretched man I am. Who can save me? Who can rescue me, he says. And then he gives this fantastic answer. Thanks be to God who does this through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rescuer. I feel another song coming on, but we haven't learned that one here yet. But he's our rescuer. He's the one who releases us from sin. How does he do it? Well, Paul says again and again in Romans 8, it's about Jesus giving his Holy Spirit to us. And that Spirit stops us from being slaves to fear and enables us to cry out to God, Abba, Father. Abba, the word that Jesus would have used to address his own Father. The Spirit we receive is the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit of daughterhood, the same Spirit that spoke to Jesus as he was baptized, saying, you are my son, I'm well pleased with you, speaks to us and says, you are my child. That's where it starts. It doesn't start with us trying harder. Paul says, I tried it. It doesn't work. As I often say at this point, you know, when the car is broken and you can't fix it, you take it to the garage. Got something wrong with mine at the moment, needs a bit of fixing. I tried to fix it, couldn't do it, couldn't get those bits apart. It's going to the garage on Wednesday to get it fixed. And we come to God, that he can change us. And God's Spirit, it said in that Bible reading, very much taking up a theme that we were looking at a Sunday or two ago, God's Spirit and our spirit work together. So the starting point for sinful people who know what it means to covet or who know what it means to just fall short of God's glory is that we start by coming before God and by believing in Jesus and Jesus giving us this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can know God as our Father. And tonight, however we come, let's come to God wanting to know God as our Father more and more. That God's Spirit should work alongside our spirit more and more. Because only the Spirit of God can truly change us.